ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And I looked at Julie, and she looked at me, and she smiled. And she opened up her fanny pack and took out the key. Isn't God amazing? He knew what a fool I was going to be that day. I never, ever put my keys on the seat or in the little holder. Never. I always keep them in my hand so I don't lock myself out of the car. But that day, God knew. And what a teachable moment that was for them. Hey, kids, we figured out why God had us do that, because I was going to lock the keys. Now, would it have been a lot easier for God just to have me not lock the keys in the car and not lose the key before? Sure. But what teachable moment is that? This was a lesson for them that they still remember to this day, how God spared us. Because the only way we could have gotten in that car was to break a window then. We didn't have cell phones back then. So God knew. And it taught them, wow, you can trust God. Isn't that amazing what God can do? Now, here's the thing. We don't have those moments every day, do we? Thank God we don't. Oh my gosh. But don't we have lessons in our life every day? We do. I mean, sometimes, you know, you run across people at work, your boss, whatever, and the struggles you're having, and you're ready just to blow up, and God is showing you, hey, you know what? You need to love him. You need to respect him. He's the boss, or whatever. The kids come home from school, and they're really mad at their teacher, gave them so much homework. Oh, what a lesson. You know, I was going through something similar today. You know, my boss, he got on me for this. You know what God said? He said I needed to love him. It's a teachable moment. Something for them to learn about God. What God desires in their life. The Lord wants to create curiosity and questions in the heart of our children about him. And we can use these teachable moments to show them. Turn over to Psalm 78 for a minute. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8 of Psalm 78. Where we're told this. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. It may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. You know, that's what a memorial is supposed to do. Remind the adults of some important event that they should not forget, and provoke curiosity in the minds of the children so they could ask questions and they can be taught lessons that these special monuments or days memorialize. Dad, what do these stones represent? Oh, this is when God brought us into the promised land, his faithfulness, and just the lessons that could be taught. I mean, think about our secular holidays in this country that are memorials. You know, the 4th of July, Memorial Day. You know, we are to use these days to tell our children what others have done to help us have the freedoms we have today. You know, we don't want to forget those memorial stones, you might say. And yet, we are. We're losing that because they're not being taught to our children or our grandchildren. We also see this going on in the church today, not teaching our children, because we don't believe in the promises of God found in the Word of God, and we don't share with our children what God has done. If you don't think it's a big deal, look at what happened in the book of Judges, the results of not teaching them the things of God. And it's, again, so important. In Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 13, listen to what we're told here. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Asherahs. Wow, look at how quickly. They didn't know the Lord, the children, because their parents never instructed them of the things of the Lord. The word of God, the things of God were not passed on to them. And what did they inherit? The pagan culture, the secular culture, not the things of God. See how important that is? In fact, in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7, we're told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say when you go to church. Why? Because that's a given. Of course you should be hearing the word of God at church. But this is talking about your life. When you get up in the morning, when you eat breakfast, when you come home from work, whatever. These are all teachable moments. The focus is to be the Lord. And not only instruct their children of the Lord, but their life should reflect that relationship. It's not, you know, do what I say, not as I do. No, it's both. Do what I say and do as I'm doing. Follow me because I'm following the Lord. And here's the thing. As parents, I'll let you in on a little secret. You're not perfect. I know you guys are surprised. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We're fallible. But those are teachable moments too. You know, I wasn't right there. I shouldn't have got mad at your mom. That was wrong. You know, teachable lessons. But God forgives. See how important that is? You know, I've seen it with my grandchildren, and it blesses me that my kids and their wives are teaching them the things of God. My youngest son, his boy, Cain, had a birthday. Was it this year or last year? And he invited this girl that has severe autism. And so my daughter-in-law, Kara, called the mom and said, you know, Cain would like her to come to his birthday party. They have a big water slide. You know, it's a big thing that blows up and kids slide down and it's huge. Adults do too, I have to admit. And she called the mom and said, you know, Cain would like her to come to his birthday party. And the mom was like, "Are you sure? No one's ever invited her to a birthday party before." Oh my gosh. No one. And here comes this severely autistic girl to the birthday party with her mom. And she was a little unsure at first, but before long she was jumping on the trampoline. Before long with her mom went down the water slide. And the mom had tears in her eyes because no one has ever invited her to a party. That's what we're instilling in our children. How important that is in this day. Christianity is not transmitted through our genes. It's not transmitted biologically. I can't even say it. It's caught by the next generation because they have their own personal relationship with Jesus and they see the works of God working in people's lives. They see that God is real. Is God real in our lives? Do they see that? Or is this something we go to church on Sundays? Sometimes we go on Thursdays. Or are we living what we say we believe? Christianity is never more than one generation away from extinction. And hopefully we're not Exhibit A in this country. because it's getting to that point. I mean, you look at 1962, prayer in schools is declared illegal, right? 1963, Bible reading in schools not allowed. 1980, declared illegal to post the Ten Commandments in the schools. We're taking God out. And it's not just God. In a few weeks, we'll be looking at this. We're taking out our history, our Judeo-Christian roots, how this country was founded, what these men said. They weren't just talking about, you can worship any god, you know, be it Buddha, whatever. No. Specifically spoke about Jesus Christ. Specifically. Do some research, if you can still find it, on the Ivy League schools. They're all Christian schools. Were Christian schools, let me put it that way. They're not today. They were. And the premise of these schools was to teach these men how to go and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. Good luck trying to find that today at any one of the Ivy League schools. We've departed from God. We've moved away from Him. And it's affecting our whole society. Deuteronomy 4 verses 9 and 10 we're told, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." That's what we need to do. We need to be a witness to our children, to our grandchildren, of the things of God. Because you know what? This is the next generation. And don't you want to instill in them now the things of God, who He is, what He is about, how He works in our lives? And it's not always easy. God never said it would be. But boy, He is with us every step of the way. And I guarantee you that one. I think I shared with you about a post from a guy who was just swearing at God and so angry at God and angry at this pastor and angry. And this guy was supposedly a Christian. He goes, "I tried it and this is what God has done to me and my life's a mess because of what God has done." And Facebook is not the place to deal with that. I mean, it's really hard to. But I like to know what's going on. How has life got so horrible? Because I have a feeling He did it. Does God bring difficult things in our lives? Yeah, He does. But He always gives us the strength to get through them. See, I think sometimes we develop this mentality of God that He's like Santa Claus and He's just going to give us gifts all the time. It's just going to be a wonderful thing and nothing's ever bad. But it's not. We have difficult times in our lives. I don't know one person from the scriptures that had it easy. But this I do know, they had God. And you know what's interesting? When I look at the Hall of Faith section in Hebrews chapter 11, I read about their faith. As I look in the Old Testament, I see a lot of their failures. Why? Because God is looking at our faith and He puts aside those failures. That's our God. He's an amazing God. Teach those things to your children, your grandchildren. It is that important. So they will come into that their own relationship with Jesus. Well, here in Joshua 4, look at verse 24. "That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." So again, here we see these memorial stones were to be a witness to the world. Now, please do not go set up a bunch of stones in your backyard to be a witness to the world. Your neighbors probably won't like that. So what is this speaking of, these memorial stones? What are we to do? Here's the interesting thing. The Bible says we're living stones. Wow. We're memorial stones in a sense that will be a witness to a lost and dying world. The church is the temple of the living God. In Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, Paul put it like this. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built up together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." You know, the church is not this building. We're the church. We're living stones, being built into the house of God, stone by stone, the body of Christ. And the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And the cornerstone was the visible support on which the rest of the building relies on for strength and stability. If the church has anything else but Christ for its cornerstone, it's weak, it's unstable. And we can see that today. A lot of people have taken Jesus right out of the picture, a lot of churches. But he has got to be the center, the chief cornerstone. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 2, listen to what Peter says. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Again, Peter speaking of Christ as the living stone, rejected by men, beaten, crucified, but precious in the sight of God. And then he says, you also as living stones. And Peter's saying that we are living stones, memorial stones, I believe, for people to see. Now, just as Jesus was rejected by men, we face that same kind of opposition. But we're to let our light shine. We're to be a sacrifice unto God. That's what Paul said in Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, the whole idea of sacrifice is really the forfeiture of something highly valued for the sake of someone or something considered to have a greater value or claim. And that's, our lives are given over to God for his use, for his glory. Peter says we're a chosen generation, chosen by God. You know, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and have appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. He also says we're a royal priesthood. The priest was the bridge builder between man and God. He showed them the way. And Peter's saying we're all priests. Our lives should help bridge the gap for people to come to Christ. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man, but we point people to Jesus. We're that bridge builder. We're the ones to show the way. And we're a holy nation, set apart for God. You know, Peter goes on to say in verse 11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. I like the way Ironside summed this up. He said, we do not become holy by looking into our own hearts. There we'd only find corruption. But as we look away from self altogether, looking unto Jesus, as he is the object in which we delight, as we contemplate his holiness, purity, love, and compassion, his devotion to the Father's will, we shall be transformed imperceptibly to ourselves, perhaps, but nonetheless, surely, into his blessed image. Absolutely. You know, we're a special people. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're the representatives of God. So we should be imitators of God. And the fragrance of Jesus should flow through our lives. You know, back then, you had to crush the spice to release the fragrance. And I think that's what happens when difficulties come into our lives. Our lives are, in a sense, crushed. What's in us, what's released, is the fragrance of Jesus. And people see that. They see something different. I can't believe you're going through all that. And, you know, you've got this joy in your heart, your life. What's going on? You see, the fragrance of Jesus emanates from our lives. You know, when Mary washed the feet of Jesus with her, you know, poured the oil over and then washed his feet. Imagine washing his feet with her hair. What did she take away? The fragrance. And so wherever she was walking, people would think, hey, you know what? That was the fragrance of Jesus she's got with her. That should be us. How important it is, guys, as living stones, part of the body of Christ, that we work together for the cause of Christ, that people see Jesus in us. I'll just share this quick story from Sparta. There was a Spartan king who he was boasting proudly to a visiting monarch about the magnificent walls of Sparta. And the monarch looked around, and he couldn't find any walls that were standing. And he said to the Spartan king, he said, "Where are these walls about which you boast so much?" The king then pointed to his bodyguard of magnificent troops. "These," he said, "are the walls of Sparta, every man a brick." Wow, that should be us. We shouldn't be alone. We should be part of the body of Christ. You look at our lives, you see how they've changed over the years since we've been saved. That's a good thing. Our lives are a testimony. They're living stones of what God has done in us. A powerful testimony. What's sad here, guys, is in Gilgal, these memorial stones that were set up, over time, the meaning began to fade away. Instead of being a memorial to the living God, it became a shrine where the Jews sinned against God by worshiping there. They were worshiping at Gilgal instead of the temple when the temple was built. And there we see rebukes against them in Hosea 4:15. "Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go to Beth Avon, nor swear an oath, saying, 'As the Lord lives.'" In Amos 4:4, "Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days." Why is this important to us? Because we need to be careful as a church, as a body of believers, as individual believers, that we don't lose the fire and the testimony that we're to have, because we want the world to see the power of God to save and transform lives. We need to be careful we don't become dead shrines that worship the church instead of the living God. We need to be careful that we don't become a dead shrine that is filled with false doctrine and idolatry. The memorial stones were a witness to the world, and so should we. And here's the thing, as we lose this witness of God in our own lives, as we don't teach our children the greatness of our God, as our witness to the world goes out, what happens? Remember in Judges chapter 2, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. What are you doing to remember the blessings, the work that God has done and is doing in your life? Don't lose sight of it. What are you teaching your children and grandchildren about the true and living God? You see, your life is a testimony to them, and there's so many lessons we can teach them as you live out your faith. Let them see how God is working in your life, that he is real. And really, what are you leaving behind for them? You know, are you leaving behind for your children and grandchildren great material blessings? Those will pass away. Or are you leaving them great spiritual blessings that will show them how great God is and help them spiritually speaking? To me, that is the most important thing I can leave behind to my children and grandchildren. I mean, one of the greatest blessings for me is to see my children teaching their children the things of God. How important that is. And lastly, what is the world seeing in your life? What kind of testimony or memorial stone have you set up that they can see the true and living God by? What you do at work, what you do, you know, post on Facebook, how you live out your life is a testimony to the God you serve. It's a witness to the world that's looking for hope, and the hope you have given them is Jesus. Because believe it or not, guys, the world is looking for hope. They're looking for someone to have the answers to the world's problems. And the answer is Jesus. We know the world's going to be duped. They're going to fall for the Antichrist. This man who comes on the scene that has all the answers reminds me a lot of Hitler. "I'll solve your problems." You know, World War I was bad for the Germans. They were all kinds of trouble financially. Hitler came on the scene and said, "I'll make it better." Did he? No. It was a false hope. Jesus doesn't give us false hope. He gives us the ultimate hope, because that hope is found in him. And I'll conclude with this morning in Joshua 4:24. "Just as living stones be a memorial or a testimony of God's faithfulness and power, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Oh, Father, it's so good to be reminded of these things. Things we know of, and yet, Lord, tend to forget. And Lord, help us to be those living stones, those memorial stones that people could look at and see the true and living God. Not only we would be encouraged, Lord, at what you've done in our lives, but Lord, others would be drawn to you through it. That's our heart's desire. And if there's any that are struggling or discouraged, I've lost hope here this morning, I just pray, Lord, refresh them. Help them to remember what you've done in their lives, knowing that what you did in the past, you are more than able to take care of the present situation. Give them that encouragement, Lord, to go on. And for all of us, Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon you all the days of our life. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.